If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Job. For the sake of time, I probably will not turn to all the scriptures that are on my heart tonight, but the main subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject not to teach us how to worship tonight. I do want us to study that and learn more about that. But the main thing that's on my heart tonight is, why do we worship? And also about the blessings that come to God's people when they worship. When we really worship God, we're glorifying God, we're honoring God. The word worship means to bow down and pay divine honor to God. It also means to reverence God. So there are a lot of different ways that we worship God, in singing and prayer, the study of God's Word, and prostrating ourselves, bowing down before God. That's one of the ways that we worship God. Worship glorifies God, but worship is also for our good. And I want us to think tonight about some of the blessings that come to God's people when they worship God. I want us to just look at and think about four or five instances. There are many others that we could go to if we had time tonight. But I want us to think about four or five instances where the people of God worship God. And then I want us to look at the consequence in their lives that came to them, the blessings that came to them as a result of them worshiping God. When we will worship God, it will have a profound effect on our lives. In Job chapter 1, the Word of God talks about how Job lost so much. And as Job lost all of his possessions, and then the Word of God tells us about Job losing all 10 of his children, what was the typical response that people would have then and today? What kind of response do people have typically? What is the natural response when they lose all kinds of blessings? What is the natural response that people have? Okay, whine, murmur. Say it again. Okay, why me, Lord, to question God? What else is the response that people have when they lose possessions, or they lose, as Job did, lost all 10 of his children? When they lose things like Job did, what is the typical or natural response besides, why me, Lord? What are some other ways that people typically will respond?
Anger.
Yes, anger. They get angry. Many times people get angry at God. And that's the wrong response. What I want us to think about is how Job responded to all that he went through. The Word of God tells us in Job chapter 1, verse 20, after he has lost all of his possessions, and he was a rich man, after he had lost all of his possessions, and then all 10 of his children died. In Job chapter 1 and verse 20, the Word of God says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and what? And worshipped. He worshipped. Now, that I think is one of the most profound instances of when a person would not typically be found worshiping God. But Job fell down and worshiped God as soon as all of these events had transpired. And all this happened in one day. He fell down and he worshiped God. And then the next verse says, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And as you study the Word of God, well, let me just ask you this. How would you say that worshiping God, how did it affect Job? What kind of positive response? How did it help Job to worship God when he had lost all of those possessions? I'll tell you how I think. I think that it helped Job to be reconciled to the loss. I don't believe there's any way that somebody can experience the loss of children and worship God without then feeling great blessings and comfort from God. Now, there are some people that when they lose loved ones, instead of them being in God's house What do some people do instead of going to God's house? They'll go other places. They just say, I just can't go to church. I've lost my loved one. I've lost my father or my mother, and I just can't go to God's house. Listen, brethren, that's the opposite kind of result that it ought to produce in our lives. When Job lost all of these things, including his 10 children, he worshiped God, and it caused him to have peace in his soul. And I encourage all of you that no matter what kind of difficulties or problems that you have in your life, no matter how much trouble you have in your life, no matter what great losses you experience, I encourage you and I exhort you and I command you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would be careful to worship God right then. As soon as you suffer that trouble, as soon as you have those problems, I encourage you to worship God because it will encourage you and strengthen you, and God will lift you up if you will worship God even in times of trouble. David also, just like Job, I'm not going to turn and read that, but you can go home and read in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You remember how David's son got sick? What did David do? Before he worshiped God now, what did David do while the child was sick? He fasted and he prayed and he begged God to please have mercy and spare his child's life. But then when the child died, do you know the very next thing the Word of God says, just like it did here, as soon as David's son died, he fell down and he worshiped God. And then it was not long after he had worshiped God that then he said, my son can't return to me, but I'll go to him. You know what was happening right there? God was blessing David to be reconciled to God's will in his life. So what's the first thing that I want us to think about? The blessing that we get from worshiping God, though the primary purpose is to glorify God, I want you to know that in the Word of God, it teaches there are many blessings that come to the people of God who will worship God. And when you're in the midst of suffering, troubles, and problems, I want to encourage you to worship God because that'll help you be reconciled. Can you really be reconciled to great trouble in your life? Are there people that experience great loss and yet they have peace in their soul? They are reconciled to that loss and God gives them the strength and courage to go on in their lives. Well, I think that if we'll worship God like David did and like Job did, we'll be reconciled to loss in our life. Now, I want to go to a second blessing that comes to God's people when they worship God. Back up in your Bibles, please, to Judges. Back up in your Bibles to Judges chapter 7. And you don't typically think of armies worshiping God. At least in our society today, we don't think much about worshiping God. Armies worshiping God. I'm talking about literal armies worshiping God. But I want you to know that in the before 1950, it was common for our troops to worship God. It was common for our troops to have worship services where the name of Jesus Christ was declared and where the people, the soldiers, joined together to really worship God. And so it is in the Word of God. You'll find many occasions where when the people of God were about to go to battle, that they would do something before they would go into battle. What would they do before they went into battle? They would fall down and worship God. Now, what's the point there? In other words, well, I want you to look in your Bibles at Judges chapter 7. I want to begin in verse 15. I want you to see what they did, that they worshiped God, but I want you to see that as a result of them worshiping God, it prepared them for battle. You might say, well, what does that have to do with us? We're not soldiers. I'll tell you what it has to do with us. We do have battles to fight. Every one of you. Some of you are facing great troubles right now, and some of you will face troubles tomorrow. Some of you on your jobs, you face troubles, you face difficulties, you face trials and tribulations, and every day we have battles to fight in our lives, just like these armies in the Old Testament had battles to fight in their lives. And as we have these battles to fight, we will be prepared for the battles of life. We'll be good soldiers of Jesus Christ if before we go out in battle, what do we need to do first? Worship God. Do you know that I'm the strongest soldier there's one day of the week that I feel stronger as a soldier of Jesus Christ when I go out to battle the problems and face the difficulties of life. Do you know the one day I feel stronger than any other day? What day do you think it is? Monday. Why? Why on Monday? Yes, because we worship on Sunday. See, we come into the house of God and we worship Him. And as we worship Him, what is the thing that we're doing? We're giving glory to God. We're praising God. We're honoring God. But what's the blessing that God gives to us when we worship Him? It strengthens us. My soul is fed by the Word of God. I'm strengthened. I'm nourished. I'm encouraged by the Word of God. And what does that then give me the ability to do tonight and tomorrow and all this week? It gives me, it prepares me to face the battles and the problems of life. And so it is in Judges chapter 7, verses 15, beginning in verse 15. Let's see what Gideon's army did. In Judges chapter 7, verses 15 through 18, the Word of God says, "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he..." What did he do? He worshiped. Now, he's just been told, you're going to have to go out and fight a battle. How many of you remember how many soldiers Gideon had before God told him that was too many? How many soldiers did he have? 32,000 soldiers. And then you remember God told him that was too many, because if they won the battle then, they would think they'd won it by their might. And so then he told them what to do, and it dwindled down to 10,000. And then he told them something else to do, and the army dwindled down to 300. And Gideon was afraid. Have you ever been afraid because of the magnitude of the battles that you face in your life? Have you ever been afraid because of the problems that you face? You feel like, I cannot face those problems. Listen, that's when you need to do something. What do you need to do right then? Worship Him. The Word of God says that Gideon worshiped and returned into the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian." What did he feel? God's already delivered this army into our hands. We're going to win the battle. In verse 16 he says he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and all I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Listen, brethren, when they began to break those pitchers, and those lights began to shine, and they began to blow those trumpets, and they all began to shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," did you know the enemy was petrified? They were scared of the army of God. How did they know what to do? How did Gideon come up with this plan of what to do right here? God told him what to do. God directed him. Let me tell you, let me just mention this in passing here. I'm thankful. We've been fighting for several years to try to get the Bible taught as history and literature, which is the only thing the Supreme Court says we can do. And we've been fighting to get that done, and it's been passed in our state legislature. And I went before our superintendent and our board, and they have agreed to teach the Bible as history and literature during this coming year. And I'm thankful for that. But now you need to be praying that God will help us get the right curriculum into the school system. Because there are two books, there are two curriculums that have been approved. And one of those curriculums says that Gideon tricked the army here. And it gives no glory to God all the way through this passage. What I'm saying is the curriculum, that particular curriculum, instead of continuously talking about the power of God, it just talks about the ways people trick people. Now, that curriculum is not acceptable in our school system. It would be better not to have the Bible as history and literature than to teach something about the Bible that's not true. So you pray that God will help us as we continue in this battle. You know what I need to do every time I start to go out and work and labor in things in our community? You know what I need to do before I go out? What do I need to do? Do I have to come here to the house of God to worship Him? Can I worship God at home? Yes, sir. Doesn't matter where you are. You know what you need to do in the morning when you get up and you start out into the battles of life? You know what you need to do? You need to bow down
and worship Him. You get on your face, you bow down and you worship God. What will it do? It'll do the same thing for you that it did for Gideon and his army. It strengthened them. It encouraged them. It gave them boldness. The fear of the enemy was gone because the power of God was on them. And you and I need to pray that God will help us, and that the power of God would rest on us, and the boldness of God would be on us, so that we would have no fear. God, about 365 times, God says in the Bible to His people, God says, fear not, fear not. Now, you're going to be afraid unless you do something. You know what you need to do to not be afraid? What do you need to do in order to not be afraid? What do you need to do? Worship Him. Bow down and worship Him. So do you see that worshiping God, just like with Job and with David, does worshiping God help us to be reconciled to the loss of blessings in our lives? It does. And the second thing I want you to remember is that worshiping God, one of the byproducts, one of the blessings that comes, is that it prepares the people of God for the battles that we have to face in our lives. If you want courage, you need to fall down and worship God. Why do you think that's true? Let's just think for a minute. Why is it that when Gideon and these people, when they bowed down and worshiped God, why was it that emboldened them, or why was that encouraged them? Why do they feel stronger when they bow down and worship God? Say it again.
He's stronger than our problem.
Yes, and when you bow down, those of you that bow down, could you feel the presence of God? Did you feel the power of God? Did you feel how strong God is? When we bow down and we acknowledge, I'm weak and I'm frail and I need your help, Lord, that honors God. And the Bible says, he that humbleth himself before the Lord shall be lifted up. And that's what God will do for His people. When they bow down and humble themselves and worship God, then God will lift them up. And we need to be lifted up. Some of you have said tonight, we have unspoken prayer requests. We have spoken prayer requests. We have people with problems one after another. You know what every one of you need to do? You know what I need to do? What do I need to do? More important than anything else right now, what do I need to do facing the problems in my life? What do you need to do in order to face the problems of your life? Worship Him. Worship Him. Therefore, aren't you glad we have the privilege to come into the house of God and worship Him? But aren't you also glad that you don't have to be in the house of God to worship? Now, I'm not saying skip church to go worship somewhere else, but I have some people that tell me, and I can't commit, one of them I've been working with for 25 years, as long as I've been in Waycross, and he says, I can worship God just as good in a deer stand and other things as I can in church. No, that's not true. That's just not true. God has set aside His house as a place of worship. And we need to come into the house of God and worship God. Now, you can worship God. You do that worship in the house of God, and you can worship God in other places also. Now, go to one other scripture. Turn forward in your Bible. Go to 2 Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Well, our time has just run way out. I think that maybe we need to just pick up here next Sunday, because what I want you to do is I want you to go home and study God's Word. I want you to study about worshiping God. Everybody hear what I'm saying? I want you to study about worshiping God. I want you to be able to worship God. I want us to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want us to worship God. I want us to glorify God. God is worthy of all the worship we can give Him in this world and in that glory world which is to come. You know, when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do in heaven? You know what heaven's going to be? We're going to be worshiping God. And some people say, well, that wouldn't be heaven to me. It'll be heaven to you. If you're in heaven, that'll be heaven to you, is worshiping God. But He's worthy of our worship now, as well as worthy of our worship hereafter. But the main thing I want us to think about now is we need to worship God. And the second thing is, there are blessings that come to God's people when they worship Him. Let me just, in closing, let me mention a blessing. Turn to Acts 2, and I'll just mention this. In Acts chapter 2, the Word of God talks about great blessings that came to the saints of God, the children of God, on the day of Pentecost. Now, do you know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost? What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? What were they doing? What were the people doing? They were worshiping God. They were worshiping God. Now I want you to see the blessings that came to these people after they worshiped God. In Acts chapter 2, come down to verse 41. I want you to see the consequence of them worshiping God. I want you to see what God did for them when they worshiped Him.
In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Word of God says, "Then they that gladly received His Word," did they hear the Word of God? Did their hearts rejoice when they heard the Word of God? "Then they that gladly received the Word were baptized." Did you know that baptism, being moved and led by the Spirit of God to follow Christ in water baptism, that's a result of worshiping God. Did you know every one of us ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Every one of us. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have been commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. We need to follow Christ in water baptism. You know what will give you the strength and courage to be baptized? What will give you that courage? To worship Him. Worship Him. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, here's the second thing that came to them because they worshiped God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and what was the next thing? Fellowship. Is fellowship important? Do you need the fellowship of God's people? I need fellowship. You know what will help me have fellowship with God's people? Worshiping God. Worship God with God's people, and you're going to have fellowship with those people that you worship God with. And the next thing it says is they prayed. When you worship God, you're going to be able to pray. You're going to be able to really pray. Have you ever tried to pray and the prayers that you just felt like they didn't get out of the room you were in? And other times you prayed, you just felt like you had an open door to heaven when you prayed? Listen, when you've been really worshiping God, you'll be able to pray. That's what these saints did on the day of Pentecost. They prayed. And there was one other thing they did that's mentioned not in verse 42, but on further down in Acts 2. It says that they all sold their goods and they distributed to every man according to their need. You remember that? They shared what they had with other people. You know what I want to do when I worship God? You know what I want to do? I want to share what I have with other people. I want to give. I want to be liberal in giving to other people. I pray that God will help us tonight, that we might realize the importance of really, really, really worshiping God. May God help us to humble ourselves to really worship God. And then may God help us to realize there are great blessings that God gives to His people when they worship Him. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.